and I wanted the opportunity to share a Christmas message with you. I know it's still a little early, and some of you are groaning, like, oh, man, already? But guess what? I think it's a good one, and I hope it gets us prepared more for the season, for what's coming up. So the title is Seeing Ourselves in the Christmas Story. Bob Hope, old school type of actor and comedian, used to joke about how poor his family was when he was growing up. They were so poor, they didn't get presents. But on Christmas Eve, they would hang up their stockings before they went to bed. And sure enough, the next morning when they woke up, they'd be nice and dry. I know, we need somebody on the drums there. Right? Okay. Well, he also said that since his folks couldn't afford to buy them any toys for Christmas, every Christmas Eve, after everyone went to bed, his father would tear an extra page off the calendar. And when the kids came downstairs the next morning, he'd point to the calendar and say, "Look, it's December 26. Where were you kids yesterday? You missed Christmas." Now, of course, they didn't actually miss Christmas. That's just the typical Bob Hope type of humor. But recently, I read of a man who did. His name was George Mason. And George was one of those people who was so involved in his work that it was everything to him. He owned his own business and was very successful at it. He lived alone in this beautiful penthouse apartment with solitary lifestyle. George tended to avoid celebrating Christmas, feeling that he just did not have time for that sort of thing. Well, one December, he refused every invitation. Everything that came his way about coming to any type of Christmas activity. Even from his brother, who invited him for a Christmas dinner. He felt that the kids were too noisy, and besides, if he went, he'd have to buy presents for all the nieces and nephews. So he planned to stay home alone on Christmas Day. Well, on the 24th of December, he put in his typical 12-hour day. And he worked like crazy. And then after most of the employees had left, he walked into the back of his huge office vault to get a little extra cash. He hadn't been inside too long when the vault suddenly got totally dark. And he heard a click and realized that the massive door had been closed securely behind him. Some employee had accidentally shut him in. While standing there in the absolute darkness, he began to pound on the door. He was pounding and pounding, and nothing happened. No one heard him. And he yelled louder and louder. And no one heard him. He screamed for someone to let him out, but everybody had gone home. He stood there and remembered reading somewhere that people had been known to suffocate in vaults, and his heart began to pound with fear. For tomorrow would be Christmas. The office would be closed. He wondered if there would be enough air for 2 days. He tried to calm down and think rationally, and as he did, he remembered that there was a safety hole built into the vault, which was too small for a burglar, but big enough to allow adequate air supply. So he sat down on the floor to wait out the endless hours. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day slowly passed. He was certainly alone, just as he had planned, but he was uncomfortable, hungry, and very, very thirsty. And as the dark hours dragged by, he longed for human companionship. Finally, the day after Christmas, the chief cashier arrived and dutifully unlocked the vault, but didn't open the door. He then headed back to his desk to begin his daily work. Well, without being seen, George pushed the door open, staggered out, and tottered to the water fountain to satisfy his terrible thirst. Then he went home to freshen up and get something to eat. When he returned to the office, he discovered that he hadn't been missed. Nobody even bothered to ask how he spent Christmas. And he began to ponder the way he was wasting his life on things that didn't really matter. And all this contemplation inspired him to go to his desk and write some words down on a card. To love people, to be indispensable somewhere. That is what is truly important. That is the secret of happiness. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Then he taped the card to the inside wall of the vault. Now, George Mason's experience was pretty dramatic. I mean, imagine getting locked in a vault alone from Christmas Eve on through Christmas Day. But you know, he wasn't the first person, nor the last, to actually miss Christmas. In fact, the Bible records that several individuals were totally unaware of the true meaning of Jesus' birth. Like people today, they were busy, consumed with all kinds of things, some important, some not. But most of them missed Christmas. The similarities between their world and ours are striking. Tonight, I'd like to share some of those people who missed that first Christmas. And as I go through this list, see if you recognize yourself in this Christmas story. Now, when I teach the youth, I always have the youth read Scripture. Whenever we do our Bible studies and our Sunday morning lessons, I always have the youth do the reading of the Scripture. I want to get them involved. I want to get them familiar with reading out loud and to be able to be involved in that. So I get them involved. And tonight is no different. So get your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 2. We're going to go into a couple of passages, the Christmas passages, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. So as you guys are getting there to Luke chapter 2, 4 through 7, I'm going to have Hannah, right, Hannah? Hannah's going to read it nice and loud, very clearly. And she's going to read this passage. So listen up. Thank you. So our first person to identify with is the innkeeper. The Bible doesn't specifically mention him by name. And it doesn't even read that he said anything like, "Sorry, man, there's no room in the inn." There's nothing that says anything like that. It says, because it tells a story or narrates a story, because there was no room for them in the inn. But that night, in Bethlehem, an innkeeper was confronted by a man and his pregnant wife, very pregnant wife. Mary and Joseph were turned away. But apparently the innkeeper did not even call for anyone to help a young mother about to give birth. The Jewish people of the first century were not a barbaric people. They were not like some aboriginal tribes that send their young women off into the jungles to have their babies on some type of banana leaf. The Jewish people were civilized, intelligent, educated, and above all, hospitable people who cared deeply about human life. It would have been highly unusual for a young woman about to give birth to be turned away from an inn and left to give birth alone in possibly a stable. And yet, that is what happened. The Bible does not specify what kind of inn the innkeeper had. The Greek word translated inn can mean guest room, hostel, or simply shelter. So the inn could have been anything from a full-fledged precursor to the modern bed and breakfast lodge to a lean-to on someone's property that was built to a house. For both people or animals or both. Whatever it was, the hospitality that Joseph and Mary sought from the innkeeper was unavailable to them. They were therefore turned away. The result was that the innkeeper in Bethlehem missed that first Christmas. The innkeeper missed the birth of Jesus because he was preoccupied. The inn was full. It was census time in Bethlehem. And the city was bulging with people from all over the country. Similar to some of our communities, expanding with snowbirds who come to Southern California for the winter. Bethlehem was crowded. The innkeeper was busy. There was no indication that he was mean or even unsympathetic. He was just busy. That's all. The innkeeper was exactly like so many people today. They're consumed with activity. Not necessarily sinful activity. They're just active with things that keep them busy. Working, shopping, parties, concerts, studying, school activities, and other things all compete for attention. And in the clutter of activity, many preoccupied people miss the Son of God. We try here at Calvary Chapel not to do too much. And we're always caught in it. We're always very, very busy. And that's why I love Christmas Eve. That's when I can come and I know that basically I'm done. And I just get to worship the Lord and enjoy that time. And that's just an awesome time for me. Guys, don't get so busy. Don't get so busy in all the hustle and bustle and everything that goes on that you miss out on Jesus, the real meaning of Christmas. Let's move to our next person and scripture. So you're going to go over to Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Matthew 2, 1 through 8. Now, this is one of my fastest readers in the youth group, okay? This is Tori. So you got to listen well. Tori, you got to read slower. And it's funny because, man, she is fast. And usually she reads from the King James. Do you have the King James? Not this time? Okay, well, thank you. Because that's hard to understand. But Tori, why don't you read Matthew 2, 1 through 8, and we'll go on from there. Thank you, Tori. That was good. Now, we're going to be back in Matthew a little bit later, so you can hold your finger there. But now we have Herod. Herod was different than the innkeeper. He wasn't preoccupied. He was very well informed. Herod pretended that he wanted to worship Jesus, but in truth, he was afraid of this one, who was called King of the Jews. Herod did not want any competition to his throne. And so Matthew records that when King Herod heard this, that there had been one born King of the Jews, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. The phrase "he was disturbed" in Greek means agitated, stirred up, shaken up. like the heavy-duty cycle in a washing machine. When it agitates, it gets going, okay? You get the picture. The word conveys the idea of panic. And Herod panicked because his supremacy was in jeopardy. He had no use for any other king of the Jews. If the innkeeper's problem was preoccupation, if he was busy, then Herod's was fear. His was fear. Herod immediately felt threatened, even though Jesus was a baby. And Herod was an old man. Herod's panic and paranoia were legendary. He had two wives and 12 children. One of his wives, Miriam, had a brother named Aristobulus, who was the high priest. Herod was afraid of Aristobulus, and so he had him murdered. Then he killed Miriam too. Herod was afraid that one of his two oldest sons might take his throne, so he murdered both of them. His entire life was one of plotting and execution. 5 days before his death, he executed his surviving oldest son for plotting against his throne. In one of the final acts of his evil life, he had the most distinguished citizens of Jerusalem put in prison and then commanded that they be slaughtered the moment he died. "The people will not weep when I die," he said, "and I want them weeping, even if they weep over someone else." So even at his death, there was a great slaughter. Herod was such a brutal, merciless man that it is not difficult to imagine how he would choose to vent his rage when he learned that the child had been born who, according to prophecy, was the true king of the Jews. When Herod realized that the wise men had outwitted him and that they were not going to reveal the identity of Jesus, he ordered that all male children under the age of 2 be killed in Bethlehem. In his mad effort to wipe out one child, Herod had scores of children killed. Meanwhile, God had already warned Joseph and Mary, and they had fled to Egypt with Jesus. It's awesome. Awesome story. So Herod failed. Not only did he miss that first Christmas, but his rebellion spread widely, a great tragedy. All this was because of fear, jealous fear. There are types of Herod types even today. Maybe not with that type of intensity, but lots of people are like him. They won't allow anything to interfere with their career, their position, their power, their ambition, their plans, or their lifestyle. They're not about to let someone else be the king of their lives. They see Jesus as a threat, and so they miss Christmas too. Are there things that are interfering your lives so you are not allowing Jesus to be on the throne where he belongs? Is Jesus on the throne and you're off the throne? I love seeing that picture of not me on the chair, but Jesus on the chair. And I'm down, bowing down before him. That should be the picture. I also love the little, I have this little, I guess it's like a little figurine. And it's a figurine of the manger and this little box with straw and the baby Jesus in there. And then Santa kneeling down and worshiping him. I like that. I like that a lot. It's a great picture that even Santa worships Jesus. And so I just think that's kind of cool. And that's where we should be, worshiping Jesus and him being on the throne, not us. Now, on a lighter side, we're going to look at the wise men, the wise guys. But we got to look in Scripture and see what's up there. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, 1 and 2, and then we're going to fly down to, we already read the other stuff. So we're going to go down to 9 and read 9 through 12. Jessica, you got that one? You're still willing? You're good? Okay, so Matthew 2, 1 and 2, and then 9 through 12. Go, Jessica. Thank you. That was great. The wise men, they took a while to get to Jesus, didn't they? They came from different countries and cultures. They followed the star and came to the home of Joseph and Mary, not the manger. Jesus was already about 2 years old. They missed the birth, the arrival. They were late. However, when the wise men arrived, they gave their best. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The only problem I see in this is that they missed out on some of their joy due to being late. It's like coming to church late. Oh, here goes Jim now. It's like coming to church late, missing the worship or part of the message. Many of us put God off for a later time. Maybe we want to have our fun first. You know, party now, pray later. Are you missing anything now? You bet we are. If Jesus isn't first in our lives, we're missing everything. Everything. And then finally, like the wise men, they gave their best. Are you giving your best to Jesus or just the leftovers? Sometimes I have to think about that. I have to check my heart. Am I giving Jesus my best or just the leftovers? Am I meeting with Jesus first every morning in prayer and in his word? Am I giving him my best attention, my best time? Like Pastor Rob, I too get up kind of early in the morning and I spend my time in the Word and time just with him. And boy, it's a bummer. I mean, I love my grandkids and I love my family, but it's a bummer when I get interrupted because I cherish that time when I can just spend time with God. That's what we should be doing. Are you giving Jesus your all? Are you missing him? Don't miss out. The wise men got there, and they celebrated, and they were excited. But they were late. They missed some of the party. So several people missed that first Christmas. The innkeepers, those people so busy that they gave up the opportunity to welcome the Christ child. Herod, who was so selfish that he foolishly ruled his own life instead of yielding his allegiance to the King of Kings and even the religious leaders of that day. People who were so involved in religious rituals that they were oblivious to the God they claimed to serve. And still today, people people like you and me repeat their mistakes and miss Christmas as well. But in John 1, verse 12, there's a glorious promise. All who receive Jesus, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, or children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. This evening, if you haven't already, this evening, won't you claim that promise? Believe. Put your faith in Jesus. Repent of your sin and follow him as Savior and as Lord. You too can find Christmas right now, tonight. And be able to celebrate Christmas in a way that you've never celebrated before. By putting Jesus on the throne. By making him your Lord. Lord of your life. And when you do that, and as I look around this room, the majority of you have already done that. If you haven't, I'll stick around. I'll pray with you. I'd love to see you come to know Jesus and celebrate Christmas like you've never celebrated before. But go out of here like the shepherds did. I didn't mention the shepherds, but go out of here like the shepherds did. After spending time seeing Jesus, after they were told by the angel to go check him out, they did exactly that. And how did they leave? They left glorifying and praising God. Wow. Wouldn't that be something? For us to be going out, not just in here, but to be going out there, glorifying and praising the Lord. It's awesome. Pray with me. Father God, I'm sure this is a miracle that we got done so early. But that's okay. God, I pray for each and every person here, each and every soul, that you will touch their lives in a way that you bring the true meaning of Christmas without all the hustle and bustle, without the selfishness, without being late. But you bring that back in each and every one of our hearts so that this year we can celebrate the real you, the real meaning. God, I pray that you touch lives, touch souls. And as we do go out these doors, may we praise you and glorify you. And may we touch people out there who don't know you and tell them why we have joy, why we have the happiness and the excitement in our hearts. It's not about the presents. It's not about the food. It's not about all the other things that the world celebrates, which aren't really bad, but it's about Jesus, our Savior, who died for our sins, who came to this world as a babe, went to the cross to give us salvation. Praise you, Lord. We love you, God. We thank you so much for what you did for us because you loved us so much. May we love you and show you our love by being obedient to you, by telling others, glorifying your name, praising you, not only in this joyful season, but all the time. Bless these guys as they leave this room. And may each and every one of them have a very Merry Christmas. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.